The beginning of reel three. This is the beginning of reel three. Lois Dixon, reel three. Lois Dixon, reel three. This is the beginning of Lois Dixon, reel three. The beginning of Lois Dixon, reel three. And this is a continuation of the visit with Miss Phillips at the hospital on Thursday, the 24th of July, 69. Continued from reel two, channel two, over. From the end of reel two, channel two, over. And a continuation of the visit with Miss Phillips at the hospital on Thursday, the 24th of July, 69. And this is channel one right. This is channel one right. And the beginning of the new reel, Lois Dixon 3. And this is channel one right.
I think it was in Life magazine, and about a year ago, and it was called The Crunch of the Churches. And it had five outstanding cases of ministers who had tried to go along with the times and go in the direction from beliefs and Sunday sermons into doing things during the week. Just that direction. And in one case, they said, the church decided to do that. And the minister would go out and visit people like Miss Phillips. And they found out that he was sort of useless. He didn't even know how to give them a drink of water. Mm-hmm. So it was still a kind of neighborly thing. Does that mean that the minister is not good for much? It's just a lay place. You don't need the minister. Now, that's overstating it.
I think what the minister means is different in different localities.
Sure.
Because the need in different communities is different.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about like your church up here. You have an awfully nice church.
Indeed. Our ministers have always been very helpful in times of sickness and trouble like this.
Now, they're active right outside the church. Mm-hmm.
They allow them so much mileage because they have to go so far to see people. And
yeah,
we have people in the, sometimes we have some membership in the Ocala Hospital, some in the Gaines Hospital, and some over here at Williston.
Yeah.
And there's a man wearing a car rag going on.
Yeah. I saw the...
I figured that John Andes was a whiz.
Yeah.
He could see somebody in Gainesville, and an hour later he'd be seeing somebody in Ocala.
How about that? On that little boat over here.
Yes, sir.
That little depot thing.
Drink Coca-Cola, ice cream in between meals. He was thin, and he kept himself thin. He was as bad as a woman, bad as diet.
Oh, really?
Yes. He dropped in, you had somebody just takes a pound cake out. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Been taking. Our cookies? No.
Lois, how do I don't know just what I'm asking. Your Sunday school class fit into this?
Well, now, I teach those older, what we call the elderberries. And we look after our sick and those who have deaths and things in their families and troubles and problems. I think we have reputation. We've been very attentive
mm-hmm.
at times like that. Now this McFadden, who was in the hospital so long with a broken leg, she always had a crippled leg, one crippled leg since a child.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had this broken leg. Well, she's been such an example of fortitude and endurance. She's in and out of the hospital. I told her one time I was up there, I said, what are you trying to do, run a race with Ms. McFadden? I said, she's in and out of here 2 years. Because like you started, you're trying to beat her time.
Yeah.
But I said, she got out. She's an older woman than you are.
Yeah.
And so when she came home, she's been saying, I'm coming home in April. We didn't say how she possibly could, but she did.
Yeah.
And Willie Walker. And she cooks for herself, and she keeps her house. And so we decided that when she first came home, though, that we rotated around the class. Everybody did something special. Very special for Ms. McFadden every week. Not every day, but one day in every week, somebody did something special for her.
Mm-hmm.
would try to take her out of the car if she's able to go. I'll take her a basket of fruit, take her some flowers, or something, whatever it is, whatever that person wants to do, something special one day a week. And they did that for Mrs. L.W. Brown over here, whose husband lay sick in the bed for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. We did something for her. Every week she'd have something to look forward to, something special. And then all, of course, in the day of the week, there's anything we do for her, we'd do it. But one special day, one day we just try to do something special for somebody. We had a lot of programs like that, and we've enjoyed it. So that's what we're trying to do now, Miss Phillips. That same group is trying to send somebody up there every day.
Are you a Bible scholar?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a scholar. I have a greater reverence for the word scholar. I'd rather say I'm a Bible student.
Yeah.
To me, scholar is somebody who's arrived.
How do you handle it? How do you work it? How do you study it? How do you?
Well, we have our lessons, of course. We have our lesson quarterlies, and the lessons are always given once every week. We have it in here too. Mm-hmm. Our Sunday school lesson this week is God Delivers His People, and the scripture is going to be from Exodus, several references. And then another part of that quarterly, we have Bible readings for every week. For every day in the week. And so we
do you read them?
Yeah, I read them here. Everybody's supposed to read them at home, those daily Bible readings.
You read them?
Uh-huh.
And
there maybe won't be but 10, 11 square verses, but we read those.
Well, Alfonso, you once said yesterday about Mr. Peel. What do you call him?
Dr. Peel.
Dr. Peel. That was his recipe in that book. Did you say that or fine?
Mm-hmm.
That he'd take a verse or two and get the heart out of it, and you'd live with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I've heard him, I've read that book several times, and sometimes he'll say to somebody who comes to him that they're having trouble. They're low-spirited. They're about the end of their rope. And they go to him for some advice or counseling or something, and he listens to their story. He gets the background, and sometimes he'll tell them, "I'll tell you what you do. Every morning when you get out, you start out, you say three times, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Just say it over to five, six times, and get a little louder every time. "I can do all things. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And before half the day is gone, you kind of believe that thing.
Mm-hmm. Now that's in his book?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's positive thinking.
Yeah. Out there on the porch after you left yesterday, Fon said she's waiting to go out there to pick up Brinchner. And I don't get to see her. I never see her. And I love to hear her talking to her. And she said,
yeah, she's a wonderful person.
Yeah. And she had she can talk to the young people,
mm-hmm.
and I can't. And she said the minister over at Mechanopa, the one who was there, I knew him. I didn't go to church much. I didn't enjoy going to his church. But he was one of the finest. But he seemed to have one song. He didn't know anything about psychology or about juke music that the young people all like. I'm just passing on what she or Florence said. About the only thing he seemed to say was that Jesus will help you. And she said, in most circumstances, that don't get very far. Now, do you encounter that?
Jesus is emperor.
Jesus will help you.
Mm-hmm.
Just believe in Jesus, and that's all you need to do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Billy Graham says, I've heard him say in some of his messages over the TV about the young people. He has good contact with young people.
Oh, yes.
And he says, I've heard him say, that young people are seeking something.
Yes.
And he says, great many of them have this conclusion, this man Jesus has what they're looking for.
Yes.
But as I say, I never heard Billy Graham say anything, really, that I haven't heard other men say.
That's right.
But it's just his personality, or his sincerity, or his gift of something. I believe every generation has some personality like that.
Well, now, in your ministers here, of course, you know them so well, the personality really doesn't mean too much. I don't imagine, would it? Now, to me, I wouldn't know them well, so I'd be impressed with personality.
Mm-hmm.
I like John Andes. I wouldn't say he had a personality. He just had such a active manner.
Mm-hmm.
I found it
he
attractive.
Was quick. He really was
yes.
quick.
And he was, perceptive. And the man before him, I was right impressed with him.
Mr. Barber?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, Mr. Barber. But I wouldn't say that was personality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I wouldn't be just like the young people. I couldn't test the way they'd feel about it. But I expect both of them could talk to young people.
John Andy especially. I think he was especially good to young people.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would talk. He would take off his clerical clothes and he would talk their language. Like, what the heck with it?
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
He would use their language.
Yeah.
So bereft of morals and live so worldly, and so some young man down there.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some young man down there was not making the grade,
yeah.
And John did a good deal of counseling out of the office. So they called him. They said, "You go down and see this man. Tell him." And he just about. He's going to be kicked out of the university if he doesn't come up with his grades. And so he went down to counsel with him. And the man said, he went two or three times. And the first time he offered, oh, the standards. Can they match standards? There are no standards. And I can't repeat it like John repeated, but
yeah.
it was a very impressive quote from the pulpit.
Yeah.
So he went down there two or three times. It was always that way.
Yeah.
And but he said, I began to feel like when I left, I was beginning to make a little impression. So I went back and I said, but I have news for you, young man. You may think there are no standards in the world today. But he said, I have news for you. The university has standards and you just have to be kicked out.
Well, the telephone rang, and it was way past time to leave anyhow. So I excused myself and went on out. This is the end of that little visit with Lois when she reports on her visit with Miss Phillips in the hospital. And this is Reel 3, Channel 1 Right, 160, Channel 160, Channel 1 Right, 160, on Thursday, the 24th of July, 69. On Thursday, the 24th of July, 69. Lois reporting on the visit with Ms. Phillips in the hospital. On Thursday, she's reporting on Thursday the 24th of July, 69. This is Channel 1 Right, around 160, on the new Reel 3. Now this is private. This is from the 15th of October, 69. When is the 15th of October, 69? This is about speech. This is about the speech. Now, a lot of her private friends know this, but she seems to feel right sensitive about it, and it's a remarkable story. Now, this is just a little bit. She asked me not to tape it, and most of it I didn't tape. I want to preserve this just in case she relents, but not to use it at any time. It's very interesting how it came up. I said, how'd you learn to talk? I meant narrate, as Conrad did. I thought that was the heart of the matter. When did you learn to talk?
What do you mean, learn to talk?
Well, you see, in my estimation, talk brings experience to life.
Mm-hmm.
Experience itself, really not mm-hmm. very interesting,
mm-hmm.
except as you relive it.
Well, listen, now you got that thing off?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
If you want it off.
Well, this is very personal. This is very personal. But I'll tell you about my speech. And I can talk. But I was, when I was a child, I had a speech difficulty.
Oh, that's the reason you speak so well now?
No, well, I don't know. I stuttered. And over here in this little school, if I would try to discuss something, sometime I would stutter, and the children would laugh, you know, and it just killed me, So I got where I wouldn't talk. If I could say yes or no to a question. Otherwise, I'd say, I don't know. I'd write on the board. I'd get 100 on my papers I turned in. And that affected me in the playground. It affected me everywhere. And then I went off to school, and it's time to go to college. And I was crazy to go to college. My cousin, Martha Culpepper, talked about how much fun it was. She'd been to Bessetift and about the midnight feast and all the much fun. And I was just crazy. And then I thought, what will I do when I get there? New teachers, new classes. Well, I thought I'd just do like a vendor. I just won't know. I just make $100 everything I pay by turned in. I did. Well, going up on the train to Lake City to school, this Mrs. Robert Ankers with Inez Carson, from Kissimmee. Her father was a senator from Osceola County. She got on the train up here at Lake Butler somewhere where they had a train. And she was the life of the train. Other students got on. The train was full of students. Well, she'd go up and down the aisle, you know, she would leave the chairs, and she was just having more fun and just talking. And I sat there and I looked at her. If I could just do that. If I could just get like that. Well, I wasn't saying a word. We went on to the campus and began to meet people and make sure go to classes, and I still was like that. I just didn't know anything. I was enjoying everything about what I'm saying.
Now, this is Channel 1 Right 210, Channel 1 Right 210. And the end of this little section on speech that she asked me not to tape, and I just accidentally taped a little bit. I won't throw it away. Maybe sometime she'll relent and we can use it. This is private. This is private. Just a little short section on her speech. Just this little short section on her speech. Other people have told me about it, but she wants it to be private. This is now 2:15, Channel 1 Right. Wednesday, the 15th of October, 69. Oh, now this is a long time afterwards. This is a long time afterwards. This is 4th July weekend, 1970. This is Sunday, the 5th of July, 1970. Sunday evening, and Lois told Faye she didn't always go to church on these nights when they have the union ceremony, services. This is 4th of July weekend, 1970. Sunday night, the Sunday supper, the 5th of July, 1970. long time afterwards, around Channel 1, 240, and this is the 4th of July weekend, 1970. This is Sunday night, about supper time, the 5th of July, 1970. Lois said no, they didn't always go to church, especially on when they had the union services.
Are you real busy with the music?
I'm not teaching this summer.
Not
oh, just, you know, a little silly and stuff like that. I had a pretty big year, and I just decided I'd just try not having a schedule.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is.
Talk about that noise. Mm-hmm. Can you remember, Lois, can you remember far enough back when they had the little literary clubs in the little town, like McIntosh, and they'd read Robert Browning and poetry.
Who's when?
And
who's when?
I remember that back where I was growing up. They had literary groups, you know, would go around and read these things and talk about it.
Was Mrs. William Christian in it? You remember who was in it?
Well, this is not my hometown.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't say about Miss Christian. I don't know.
No,
back in, anyway, in the town he grew up in.
Oh, well, the town you grew up in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew in the Civic League down home at one time had a kind of a book club, and I didn't get it. I thought maybe he was asking about that.
Ms. Rutman and a few people like that do the reading and then go and give a review, don't they? And the rest don't have to read it.
That's getting it by proxy, isn't it? Well, I haven't heard anything today about Miss Annette.
Oh.
See, you just can't get in. You can't get in on it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll know when we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Has she been doing pretty well? Up until the last little while?
What?
Has Annette been...
No, they took her to the hospital. I guess that Wednesday. John and I came in Tuesday. And it was either late Tuesday afternoon or sometime Wednesday, I think, they took her to the hospital.
So how long has she been...
Well, it hadn't been long, because I've been seeing her walk across the post office without her walker. But the trouble isn't the leg, isn't the broken leg. It's not the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But she hadn't been feeling or anything.
And takes the doctors in the hospital forever now to find out what's the matter with people. Have to run so many tests.
I know.
So they ever can make a diagnosis.
You know, people used to always had little home remedies. I don't know whether they've given them all up or not. But let me think about it. So you asked Miss Bessie, she's 85. How'd that come up, Lee?
Something was said about eyes. And I said, you know, my eyes stay tired a lot of the time. And guys does too.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd she say? She said you take a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of soda, a teaspoon of boric acid, and a little glycerin, boil some a quart of water, and you never will have any trouble with your eyes. I got it from the best doctor in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's working for the...
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
She never had any trouble.
Well, I'm having trouble with my ears. I don't hear as well as I used to. And especially in the air conditioning place in church, my ears just close up. Unless if I swallow, you know, I clear my throat, then it clears kind of like if going up elevation.
Uh-huh.
But until those ears kind of clear apart, but the preacher sounds like he's out in the middle of the highway to me.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any home remedies.
And nowadays, you're changing from one temperature to another so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it in my
I know it's in the ear, but I know it's in my ears. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm having to all the time ask people over what to say because I just don't hear.
Well, are you air conditioned in the church all the time now?
Our church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Day and night. So every time.
John's cold in that phone, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. All right for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, though. I miss the hot. I'm glad to see it. It's been 97. It's been 97 a lot stuff at home, and so you can't get too cold for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's nice to cool off, if it even have to go to church to cool off, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But they keep that drugstore man charge awful cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awful cold.
They think that'll draw customers.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. People go in there and cool off.
They can't cool that jitter store though, is
there? No.
They can't warm in the wintertime either. It's cold in there. It's cold in there in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And hot in the summer.
Yeah. That's right. They'd have to redesign it, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. But just before I left, I hadn't heard anything about it since I got back. Alvin Hendricks was robbed. His home place. All those skin diving things and all the bottles and things. They had about $2,000 worth of equipment.
Oh.
You know where he lives?
Yeah.
He lives on the highway.
That's awful, isn't it?
Did you hear about it?
No.
Mm-hmm. It was on the first page of the Ocala paper the day before I left.
Yeah.
And it's Alvin never did close it, never did lock his house up.
Yeah.
And I used to say to him, I said, boy, you've got a lot of stuff in here. You better,
yeah.
I wouldn't always leave the house open, I said.
Yeah.
He said he was gone from there about 2 hours, the middle of the afternoon, came back and was gone. So a truck had come in from the Grove, but it's the Grove at the back. Somebody who had evidently cased and studied this situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an interesting little fella.
I don't know him very well. Is he still in the drugstore?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. I guess that Wilson has a lease or something on it. Alvin doesn't seem to have any use of it. Just all he gets out of it is his rent.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it's kind of funny, but I say Alvin can help mess us out of dollar, evidently.
Who said that? Why?
If Alvin can see something else in life besides a dollar.
Well, my understanding is he already had right a good many dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, but everybody, people never satisfied. They always want more.
Right, that's right.
But he's satisfied what he has. That gives him time for his hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what is his hobbies? He travels.
Well, he doesn't travel so much. He likes skin diving and scuba diving and research. And he... He lets the museum display a lot of his findings, his dinosaurs and his bones and
mm-hmm.
and things he discovers. He's interesting. He's a very interesting person.
Yeah.
And he's living some and enjoying some of his hobbies.
Yeah.
Well, he came up here one time. When Bill Wynn and Rob Wood had watermelons back there, and said he'd been wanting to see this place, he'd heard about it, and that I want to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Now I didn't get this. I'm gonna get some.
Well, you're supposed to have some.
Yeah. You also had a lot of company this summer, haven't you?
Well, a good bit.
Flora's had a lot of company, too. I don't see and talk to Flora as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
The line's always busy. Or somebody wants a line to show some all the Brits don't have this part of line. And so I talked to them, and somebody wants a line, so we have to hang up. Mm-hmm. But I heard it say something about your guess you had, though.
We had some children. Mm-hmm. Children down from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, where is Barbara now?
She's in the mountains with her family.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think company sort of draws company?
Mm-hmm.
If you get a little, then you'll get a little more pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I had to go to your company last month, too. You know, the girls from Texas and people from Minnesota. And then, the 1st of June, I had a girl come up from Venice. Just stayed 2 or 3 days. I saw somebody having company from Venice. You know, they got all excited, Venice. Now, I got where I had to say, I always said Venice, Florida, to keep so they keep their feet on the ground.
Seemed like the best time when I was growing up, the best time to visit was in August.
In August.
Did you ever go visiting in August and stay a week at a time?
Mm-hmm. It depends on what part of the country it is. It's a good time to go visiting in South Carolina when the peaches are in season.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's in season in August? You think so good?
Well, up there, I don't think anything's in season. Except, you see, in the country, they've laid by everything. It's not time to gather anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their revival meetings and their
family
reunions. And they go to St. Louis to see a baseball game, things like that.
When I used to visit my uncle George and Aunt Mamie in North Georgia, if you went there the first week in August, you had to go to church every night.
Yeah.
Well, their country church had a revival always the first week in August.
Yes.
Oh.
And that was a big social season time. Big eating, fried chicken, all the garden stuff was in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
At that time too.
And plenty of help still.
Mm-hmm. And preachers always inspire big meals, you know, visiting preachers.
they make over it a good deal. They don't do so well now, do they?
What do you mean, the revivals?
The preachers, when they come to see you, they don't eat so much as they used to.
Well, I don't know. I haven't had one eat with me right lately.
You know, I don't believe people entertain preachers like they used to.
No, but their cars, people can preach and go on home and eat.
Oh.
You sure they,
that's
one's so convenient. Mm-hmm. And even churches like Micanopy and McIntosh now have nice pastoring for the people, for the pastors to live. There was a time when our preacher would come from Dunellen, come up on the train after being on the same Saturday night and everything.
Oh.
Well, I didn't know that.
Huh? Dan McIntyre, yes.
Well,
Before we had full time, although we had half time, with Dunellen.
Well, I thought McIntosh would always had a full time.
No.
Well, that's way down there.
Your hands off, huh?
That's a long way, Lois.
I know it is, And when we did that, that was before they come. I remember they used to come on the train. Maybe people didn't have a car. You know, every church in Mankato used to have one Sunday a month. There was four churches, one Sunday a month. And the Baptists were the first one to move out and had two Sundays.
Oh, really?
And then I think the Presbyterians were the next to move out and have two Sundays. And then the Baptists again were the first to go full time.
Uh-huh. Well, now you tell me things. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Now,
you learn something every day, don't you?
But now in the summertime.
Well, if you talk to Lois, you do.
Huh? You you got to wear the tennis at night. It's so cool sometimes. So we've got to pray. We just have a union service at all the churches one Sunday in each month. The Methodists always have the first Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian Church the second, the Baptist the third, and the Presbyterian the fourth.
Well, that makes sense.
On Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and at one time, they all had just one Sunday a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that would be interesting. If you wanted to go to church every Sunday, you'd go to a different denomination every
mm-hmm.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do that.
No, they just go once a month, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the walk-ups are an old family in McIntyre. There's still a lot of walk-ups there. Somebody came to my house not too long ago. A salesman or deliveryman, something wanted to know. Where Ms. Walkup? I said, which one? There are five.
Uh-huh.
There are five Ms. Walkups here in town. Which one do you mean? Well, one of the original Walkups is Miss Mary Walkup, still unmarried. She lives on Natrona Beach. And she comes over to visit the people every now and then there in McIntyre. And well, thank you. And she has a great way to say it. Every time she comes, McIntyre's got more churches and less religion than any place I ever saw. I don't know why she says less religion. I can understand. We thought we had. So in fact, we haven't got that reputation with Miss Mary, but that's what she always said. She thinks we ought to have just one church. Everybody.
Uh-huh. And lots of religion.
Mm-hmm. And lots of religion.
Well, you'd have a hard time deciding which of the chamber of your beautification committee or whatever it is. We'd have a hard time deciding which.
Yeah. Every now and then they do talk a little seriously about, well, can we combine, can we unite and just have, you know, have a better preacher and pay more salary.
Yes.
But they all want to be their preacher.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Well, now that would put some preacher out of a job too.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's right.
Could very well draw straws.
No, I don't think straws would do it.
The other day, was some time back, we had a big funeral in McIntyre, and I took Miss Deborah Brown, you know Miss Brown, to the funeral, and others too, but she was in the car, and the flowers are beautiful, so many of them, and so handsome. And somebody in the car said, you know, I just think that's a waste of money. I think that's a sight.
Yeah.
Spend that much money on the flowers. It won't last very long. And know what Ms. Brown said?
Uh-huh.
They said, these people, that's their business. They studied how to arrange them. They studied how to grow them and specialize so that, you know, how they put them under lights and make them go fast and go big and give them shots and everything. But they've studied all those things. That's their business.
Yeah.
So if people didn't buy the flowers, why they wouldn't have the business.
Uh-huh.
But you do hear that a lot about funerals, don't you, about the flowers?
Well, now you didn't expect that from Ms. Brown, did you?
No, I didn't. But that's what she said.
Does she surprise you a lot of that like that?
Yeah, she probably. I tell you who the funeral was. It was that Cara Hester. You know the Hesters? He was the Hester, Vidal.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Eva
yes.
Vidal's
yes.
brother.
Yes.
He was a railroad man. And one wreath especially attracted our attention. It was a wheel. And one spoke was gone.
Oh.
And the Brotherhood, the Railroad Brotherhood, has sent that.
Mm-hmm.
They said they send that always. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was interesting and effective.
Mm-hmm.
I've eaten long and well, so you know how much I've enjoyed my supper.
I I'm just enjoying having you here and also
mm-hmm.
having it as cool as it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little rain helps us out.
Well, we needed that. We hadn't had any rain
mm-hmm.
this week.
Tell you what, instead of having that warm watermelon out there, we were going to see that's the watermelon.
That's the watermelon,
yeah.
John.
Yeah, he said that was the that was a perfect watermelon. He'd been promising it to us for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And now we can cut it.
Who grew it?
He didn't say. Mm-hmm. A friend of ours brought it.
Oh, well, I see. Mm-hmm.
And we can have ice cream and a fresh cake, or we can have a piece of that watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we take a vote, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it. Let's just put it on ice a little bit.
Well, I see. Oh, my goodness, she has a Ford.
Let
this
me tell you,
uh-huh.
Lois,
uh-huh.
This is a colored man, and he's a well digger, and I don't know what else,
mm-hmm.
and he grows vegetables all along, and, you know, most people that I see down here, they, if they're growing them to sell,
mm-hmm.
to the market, they put a whole lot of raw fertilizer on them and just shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Now he didn't do that, and they just grow along, you know, that's all a natural way, and they have a lot better taste.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't find many like that.
Mm-mm.
He brought us some cantaloupes that this,
mm-hmm.
that this person
yeah.
had grown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you could tell there was a difference.
He must plant as a right shape of the moon. You suppose he plants the right shape of the moon?
That's going to grow naturally.
Uh-huh. But on those films, I mean, on that film of the pictures that I wanted to get the other day in Ocala, and decided I wanted to position my car. I wanted to go and be crossing town, clean to the other side of it, and all those lights to get the pictures. I didn't get them. But on that film are three pictures that I took of an old colored man I saw in town the other day, driving an old broken down looking horse to an old broken down looking wagon.
A mule horse.
I think it was a horse. The picture will tell. The picture will tell when we see it. But anyway, I don't know when I'd seen a sight like that in McIntosh. And I was in my car when I saw it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, I'll run home. I think I can get there and get my camera before he gets out of town
yeah.
and get that picture as slow as he was going.
Yeah.
So I did. He happened to go turn the street and go kind of near my house. And so I got out of my car and I ran back, got my camera. I came back. I said, wait a minute. I want to take your picture. And he just loved that.
Yeah.
So I took three of them. And he wanted when he could see them. Well, I said, who are you? Well, he's one of the Floyd Negroes. And he knew my father. And I said, well, Zeke, his name is Zeke. I said, Zeke, tell you what I do. I'll give it to Mr. Ross when I get one back. Mr. Ross Rath, he's the postmaster. I'll give it to Mr. Ross, and when you get your mail, you can get it from him. So I'm going to give him one of them.
Wonder where he lives? Have you an idea where he lives?
Yes. No, I don't. I know. Yes, I have an idea. Yeah, that's all, though. He lives out west of town in the old Brushlot area.
Yeah.
You know Brushlot?
Yeah.
Well, he lives in the Brushlot area.
Yeah. I haven't been out there much, but I don't know where it is. It's out there by Johnson's store. What's the name of that little place?
Flemington.
Flemington, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tried the same thing one time about picking a nigger man. Come along the road in a mule wagon. And I didn't ask his permission to take it. I just went out there and started taking a movie of him. He didn't like it a bit.
Uh-huh.
He says, you stop taking my picture. I just went right on taking it. He says, I'll get you when I come back. So I made it a point to be out there when he came back to see what he'd do. So he just drove right on by. Looked at me. Just went right on by. I was out there waiting for him, though.
I expect this new Zeke expect a tip from me by letting him.
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, they're well off these days. Mm-hmm. They don't.
I think I'll just sell them by offering a quarter, don't you?
Quarter, yes.
A quarter?
Yeah, you'd have to give them folding money now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you go up the drugstore there, and they stand around buying stuff, just a little damn stuff, and they get that $20 bill to pay for it.
Yeah.
ruin the cash register over there, cash in there, you're giving them the change.
Woodard Coleman, he lives over to Old Mecanova Junction. Now, he's got a mule with a one mule horse wagon. And I haven't seen him driving that. I didn't see him all last summer. He may have driven it.
Mm-hmm.
But he drive it down, of course, for the pave that road over there by the railroad. He had a good place,
mm-hmm.
but he can still drive along on the, this place is where he can drive out there. And his mule's named Emma, and she's a beautiful mule
mm-hmm.
in the summer when she's asleep. He got an old truck. I'd trust Emma before I would that old truck.
Mm-hmm. John's flying back to Greenville. It'll be his first flight. The time he's been airborne.
He's gonna really get it.
He's gonna be on three planes flying from Gainesville to Greenville.
Might have been the first time. three planes to ride from here to South Carolina, and somebody rode from Spartanburg to Ohio, and you have to get off the toll.
Yeah.
And we could drive up, and about the same time, we're going to take in the fly up.
Oh, really?
Because of the waiting in Jacksonville.
An hour and 20 minutes one place, and
mm-hmm.
4 hours and a half in another
mm-hmm.
place.
Yeah.
But it's just the opposite coming down. It's half that time exactly. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes one place, 2 hours and 15, something like that. And 40 minutes in another place.
Now that's Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
I don't guess I've ever been to Greenville. But all that's pretty country up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greenville's a fast growing town. Every year, I've been visiting there every year. My goodness, we take rides around, and so many new developments already, so many new industries.
Okay.
You know, there's a big textile center. And other industrial plants to find their ways in there too.
Yeah.
Tell them about the carpet.
Oh.
The carpet that they made in there in Greenville. That made history.
Well, it's the red carpet that they roll out for the astronauts, you know, when they get off the
mm-hmm.
helicopter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's made there.
Oh, really?
Now
that's something to remember. Right?
that's something to put a Greenville on the map, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's more than we contributed to it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Now, when in the world did you have time to make a cake? And you've been riding a horse all day. Huh?
Well, you know, this is that kind of a cake, Lois.
Oh,
I made this after I talked with you.
It's kind of instant.
Well, you know, you have to do a lot of playthings with it. You
uh-huh.
add a lot of things to it.
All right, thank you. Now, what is this Sierra Club? What is that? The Florida Gentle, Florida Cattleman. Are you a cattleman?
I'm really not.
I've got to
uh-huh.
take those things off
uh-huh.
the table.
But that's, and that hadn't made one of them yet.
Honey, your cake is warm, isn't it?
I just made it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something.
I thought we'd get out in time to pick
I'm so glad you chose this instead of watermelon. You know what? Watermelon's always a gamble, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the sky's beautiful. Yeah, we ought to
mm-hmm.
be out there picking fish. They didn't even see Ajax
mm-hmm.
guy.
No. Now, do you fool with horses,
No, I don't have any, but I'm just, I just like them. Been around them pretty good bit. I never have had one.
We went to Rainbow Springs the other day, and we saw those quarter horses and six
mostly. Mules mostly. No, my uncle did, and we live right near him. And so.
Well, are you familiar with mules?
As much as I want to be.
I've never been able to handle a mule.
I'm not having any trouble with mules, but I've been thrown once by a horse, but not by a mule.
Well, I guess I just don't know how mules behave. Or maybe they just don't like me. Mm. What is he using for now?
He doesn't have them now. He sold them all.
Oh, I see.
That was when he was farming. He just used them for farming.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of farming.
I think there's still a lot of things you can use a mule for if you've got one.
You know, they have a reputation of being so stubborn,
uh-huh.
so strong-willed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my Uncle John has one of the funniest stories he used to tell was about a mule. It was a nigger man and a mule.
That's back.
And I can't tell, but I just give you a little bit of idea about it.
All right.
But this, the old nigger had a time with that mule, and he was, as I remember, they were trying to cultivate a hillside, you know, going around and around. And he just had such a time with that mule. Everything went wrong, and the mule then got stubborn. And I think he, I don't know what all they did, but anyway, he just, it was the roughest experience he ever had with a mule. And the nigger was very honest and very conscientious, and tried to be very patient. And when it reached the point of complete exasperation, he said, "That's a god darndest I ever saw. Pretty lie." I'm telling you, I always had that. Pretty lie. The nigga wanted to be so honest, you know. God darndest mule I ever saw. Pretty lie.
Did you ever hear anybody who could use profanity with a gift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard some of them.
You know, this woman over at Cross Creek that Ms. Rawlings knew, don't you know who took her to court?
Yeah, about the...
They said she was... masterful at it, and just...
Let's see, her doctor, let's see, her brother was a doctor, what was his name?
Dr. Kaysen, or something like
no,
that?
No, the name's
different,
but we know...
I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Zelma.
Uh-huh. Kaysen.
Yeah.
Zelma Kaysen.
Right.
Well, of course, I never heard Zelma. I have heard a few efforts. But now, Ms. That lady across the creek.
Ms. Rowling.
Ms. She's a neighbor of Ms. Rowling.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And she was sort of regretting it that, you know, that Zelma used such profanity. You know, sort of apologetic about it. And then I thought to myself, nothing to be apologetic about. If you've got a good old-fashioned case of profanity, it might. But you know, you don't hear much of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No, I don't hear it.
How long has it been since you heard any? I don't mean not cussing, but I mean just good, gifted, poetic profanity.
It's been a long time. The people. There used to be two men in McIntosh that were bad, but they're both dead and gone now, so.
Yeah.
And I won't call the name, because you'd know
them. I wouldn't know.
She was a good king. She could know how to make it.
Mm-hmm. You mean I know them?
Yeah. But you know all of them, anyway.
Oh?
I doubt it. I know very few.
Mm-hmm. The woman, Emmett Dodd's father. You know Emmett Dodd.
I know him, but I don't know. I've never heard his father.
But Emmett Dowd's father.
He was good.
Mm-hmm. He's good to bad one.
Yeah.
And the other was Miss Beaver's husband, the barber.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, did she get any of it?
I never heard Howard Bateman, but my uncle used to come from the barber shop, and they said they never heard anything like it.
Yeah, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, he's got it. Guys, what about you?
He was
just
a
you know, we can sit down and practice and eat a whole hot steak.
He's bigger than I am.
It's better that they hunt it right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. This is why I cooked it, just this way.
And give me a small piece, because I have just a small piece.
What do you think has curtailed all that so much? Saturdays around on Saturdays and first Mondays, mm-hmm. I used to hear a good bit of it.
Well, I think it's very unnecessary for people to use such language. But it's something that becomes habitual, I think.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of good people do it.
I mean, it isn't a matter.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't frown on it.
What?
You wouldn't frown on it.
No. I was telling John somebody the other day about, I knew a doctor in Jacksonville, Dr. Chalker, Dr. Roy Chalker. And he was not a profane man, not by any means. Mm-hmm. But every now and then he wanted to say something very impressive. Why he would use kind of ugly word.
And a strong word.
Just a kind of a strong word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doctor was sick. Doctor was in the hospital in Orange Park, and my sister had never known Dr. Chalker. So I was taking her to the airport, and I said, let's go by this hospital and see Dr. Chalker. And she had never met him, so we went in there, and he was on oxygen at the time. And, when the kind of had to put the, curtain over you and everything. But some nurse had been in there and given him a glass of water. And it got on out. And they told him he could go in there. He was fairly rational, you know. And he saw and spoke to us, and he said, take this damn glass on that table. Well, it just took me so. This man, just as sick as he could be, but he was so sick and tired that nurse had never come back to get that glass, you know. He said, take this damn glass and put it over there on that table.
Lois, you know what? Some people go to the hospital who had got no more sense than anybody else, or merit, or not any sicker than anybody else. And it seemed like they just, no matter where they are, they could put them in the, charity ward. And they would just get perfect attention. The doctors would just hover over them, you know, and stuff like that. I knew a fellow who stayed out here in heart trouble, had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't worth shooting. And he didn't know a soul in there.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the hospital, I don't get any attention at all.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I can get any attention is...
Is to take this damn glass?
Yes. A member of a family or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you do to get attention?
I don't
want just extra
attention. I haven't had much hospital experience, I'm glad to say.
Why, you have. You've been in the hospital all the time.
With friends.
You go to the hospital all the time.
See people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what do they do to get attention? I don't mean just get babied and all. Mm-hmm. I mean just get taken care of. Is it somewhere you have to look?
Well, I don't know how it is. But I know when I went there.
You just look pitiful, I reckon.
When I went there to
not
see
independent. Mm-hmm. It don't look like you're healthy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to get attention. When I went to see Ms. Phillips there one time in the Library General, and she needed help. Mm-hmm. And I tried to help her, but I didn't know why. We needed a nurse. And you put on the red light, and it can just burn and burn and burn. Nobody ever sees it.
Yeah.
And I go out in the hall, I say, everybody must be there. There's only red light in the hall. But there's nobody coming. And so I went back to her, and I said, now you just let her right here. I'll go up to the desk and see if we can't get a nurse. And there wasn't anybody up there. Yeah, it's pitiful when you need somebody bad and just can't find them on the floor.
Well, that's the experience out here.
Mm-hmm. But unless you have a private nurse now, you just don't get much attention.
So
and as much as the rooms cost, then they have to pay for a private nurse, but I can't stand that.
Some get attention.
This, I tell
yes,
you, this
some
case the guy's
attention.
Talking about.
Uh-huh.
Some get attention, and I just love to know how they're doing.
Well, I wish I knew, too. If you find out, you let me know. So if I have to go, I'll be in the know.
That's the truth.
You're not going to get out there in time to see the horse.
No.
We're just sitting here, doing time.
Well, we have to eat.
Hmm? John, I used to go through Georgia a lot. I always wished I could live in Georgia and never could get a job or anything up there. I imagine South Carolina, I don't know South Carolina, but I imagine South Carolina would be about the same way. Once you got a taste of it, you wouldn't want to leave.
I guess so. Once you got the sand in your shoes, you would.
Mm-hmm.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. We came from Georgia. We've been living in South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
In Greenville.
Mm-hmm. Several years.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be spoiled on both accounts then.
Don't hurry, Lois.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
Georgia.
You hurry.
I'm trying to hurry. It's always this way.
See,
I'm always the last one.
How did your papa make your mind? Did you tell by the way he patted his foot?
Huh?
How he felt about it?
Mm-mm.
How did your papa make you mind? Could you tell?
How my papa made me mind?
Could you tell by the way he patted his foot? Just how he
I don't know. Somehow I just knew by the tone of his voice.